But that's the kind of question that would be very, very important to know. That would be indicative of what kind of a home this family is all about. And then you'd know if the children have a good running start on being happy, on having true simcha. Because this that a person says quietly and how he, she speaks, when no one else is around, but just the home, just the children, maybe the children are there, they're not there. By the way, the children hear much more than we think that the parents think that they hear, much more than we want them to hear. So that tone, and the tone that's set by how we speak to one another, is huge. And that is Magid La'adam Masicha. That's how you'll judge not just the person, but how he or she succeeded in raising their children. Chazal tell us, Erev Shabbos, which is the most tense time, there's so much to take care of. And it's ironic that, you know, all the malachas and everything that has to get done within a certain few hours. And in short Friday, as we call it, in the winter, it's particularly pressing. And then today, you have both parents working very commonly. So it's just unbelievably the pressure, how much they have, unbelievably the pressure pressing on them, and somehow, unbelievably, they come to Shabbos, and everything is ready and beautiful, and the table is set, and the malachim escort and bring home husband and children from shul. That's a beautiful thing. Chazal say that just before the Shabbos begins, there are three things. Shlosh dvarim tzarech adam lomar b'soch beiso, erev Shabbos m'chashecho, yisartim miraftim edlikim b'saner. And famously, we look at this and we say, wait a minute. First of all, it doesn't say he's supposed to ask. His point is to say, have we taken care of all the fruits, vegetables, the mice, the tekhala? If we need an Erev to carry, has that been accomplished? An Erev Chatzeres? Adliku Asaner, did you prepare lights? We should have lights for Shabbos. You don't ask. You say, which means that, to begin with, the whole tenor of the conversation is so non-confrontational. Even these very important questions about the holiest day of the week have to be approached benichusa, as the Gemara says. And the Gemara adds to this Mishnah, and the Gemara says, v'tzorach lememrinhu benichusa. You have to say it gently. Even though the tension, sometimes in an Erev Shabbat, we know, can be thick enough to cut with a knife. No. The responsibility of the father of the household, leader of the household, and obviously the responsibility shared by his Eishes Chayil, is that even though we're coming to the climax of the week and all its preparation leading into the Shabbos, and there's so much that we are very intent upon accomplishing and maybe even a little bit anxious about, no anxiety should be expressed. It should not manifest that way. So it's got to be said benichusa, because la'olam al yatil adam ema yisera b'soch beis al chazal say, person should never use too much sense of fear. There should always be a nichusa. Everything should be accomplished without tumult, without anxiousness. Anxiousness that's expressed is palpable and felt by children. Even if a person does assert his or her own self-control after being visibly anxious, that's better than, God forbid, you know, yelling, screaming, retreating into one's bedroom, slamming the door and saying, I can't handle this. But the best thing to do would be to develop an entire mindset, a whole personality of calm. A whole personality of calm. So that a house is a house of calm. My father-in-law, Rabbi Beryl Wein, tells the story of how he once had a very, very difficult day. There were probably more than just one or two of them. A very difficult day at the Union, at the OU, where he was first in charge of the OU generally, then in charge of the Kashrus division, and it was a very, very hard time. A very hard time. Came home that day. He had been driving, which is difficult enough. And came home to Muncie and realized that he still was extremely upset and still very not himself because of what had happened. Certainly over an hour earlier, but it still was with him too much and would affect his spirit in the home. And he simply said, I'm not going into the house until I feel much calmer and much more at ease. Because if I go in and I'm not calm and I'm not at ease and I try to assert calmness, I may not succeed. And that's not worth it. That's tremendous wisdom. To know that the calmest person can lose themselves and at moments be just so aside or beside themselves as to not be capable of smiling and saying, hi honey, good evening, hi my sweetheart, and give a kiss to the child. Just, they are just beside themselves. Still, because of what happened at work, and it's an hour plus later, but it's still with him or her, you don't have to come home right away. Drive around the block. By the way, in Muncie, can be a very big block. It's not a cityscape. But the point is that that's a huge chachma, where therefore a person can finally, when they do come home, the best side of the person, the calmness of the person, serenity of the person, is there for all his or her children to see and feel. And that's included in Layatl Adam Ema Yisera B'Sof Pesa. Because otherwise it's felt. It's felt. It's transmitted. And even if it's not directed, not at all directed at the children, it affects the child. The child needs a home that's secure. Everybody knows that. But what does security mean? Security doesn't only mean that there's not a bad man who's breaking down the windows who's going to violate the security physically of the home. Security means that emotionally the home is a place of pleasantness. Consistently so. A home where when the child has had a challenging day, we have to know kids have very challenging times. Especially because we're living in a society where there's so much that is expected of children, and often very early on in life, there's so much expected of them academically, socially, sports-wise. There's so much that children are trying to accomplish. So much on their minds. They need to know that when they come home, not only will there be love and acceptance and encouragement, but the home is almost an oasis of pleasantness and a complete absence of any cause of anxiety or tension. Can be accomplished. It's not easy. How this affects a child? Ultimately, there are qualities which an adult cannot talk about and have the child. Oh, yes, I patience, yes. My parents taught me how to have patience. Yes, my parents taught me how to get along and be maybe forgiving or to allow someone else to have their prerogatives and to be mevater, as we say. Vatranut. To forfeit one's own rights and say, let somebody else have, you know, a privilege or a preemption. This is not something that you can just say to a child. You can't tell them, for example, you know, well, we are calm because we have a munah b'Hashem. That's not going to work. These midos, midos of darchei shalom, midos of savlonus, midos of emuna, that are so important in creating a person who can be kovesh yisitzro, sameach b'chelko. The simcha we're talking about raising a successful child, and we say it means ultimately a well-balanced, pleasant, and content human being. You're not going to do that by telling him or her, saying to the child, this is important. They're going to learn it by example. And they're going to learn it by example if and when the parents exhibit that again and again and again. And the child was raised in a home of great emunah b'Hashem, a home where there was savlonus, where things that are frustrating and that aren't going so right, were not the cause of eruption. Were not immediately the cause of visible anxiety on mother's, on father's part. A home where there was patience. Patience with the children, patience with parents, patience with the delivery boy who doesn't get it right, patience with the people in the store who don't get it right. You know what it's like for a person to hear and see the father or mother call up a store and say, "You didn't send me my delivery, I ordered, you know, such and such." So the child learns that they have a right to be insistent. The child learns that it's normal and understandable to get anxious and upset when the wrong kind of potatoes were delivered instead of these red potatoes, to get the white potatoes and stuff. The child learns that it's okay to speak down to somebody. All the lessons that a child can learn about being anxious and upset about the wrong thing and then being very makpid, being insistent on things that are not all that important, and how you can accomplish things the wrong way instead of the right way. Everything is learned by example. It's all learned by example. And then, you know, you end up with a child who is just so similar to the mother and father because that's all they learned about certain midos, which they can't learn any other way. Yes, you can read about being a savlon. You can learn about and read about, you know, how bad ka'as is and how it needs to be overcome. You can learn and read about emunah b'Hashem. It's true, and there are wonderful reference books and there are great story books for these midos and Sifrei Musar. There's nothing like a living example. Nothing like it. And when you meet such a person who meets up with challenges always with equanimity, wow. Then you begin to understand how such a person raised a family and raised children to greatness. All the great people who I have met, and I have the privilege of meeting a couple of very great people, some great parents, were blessed with their parents being people of calm, people of equanimity. And that's how you become a successful person, as we understand success to mean. And there's another very important point, since we mentioned emunah. You know, it's important to know and remember, and this is obvious, and this is something that obviously we hear from psychologists and, you know, child psychologists all the time. Baal Shem Tov once met with one of his Talmidim and said to his Talmid, "Svelt ba'ach emunah, you're missing emunah." Now, his Talmid was flabbergasted. This was one of the great students who spent, you know, days, weeks, months, years developing his emunah b'Hashem. So he was flabbergasted. He said, "Rebbe, what do you mean?" He says, "No, I don't mean emunah b'Hashem. You don't have emunah in yourself. Do you have emunah in yourself? It's not just self-confidence that you can accomplish many things. It's the deepest, deepest introspective sense of your own capacity, your own worth, your own inherent greatness. There's a difference between importance and greatness. We have to know that to teach a child that he or she is important is very different from teaching a child and having them understand and feel that they are significant, in that they have great capacity, that they have great potential, that there's greatness in them. Because when somebody is important, so then they might feel that they have to be treated the way everybody else is being treated, which may not be the case, especially when it's a child. And a child has to be differential to an adult, to those with greater needs or more pressing needs, etc. So it's not about teaching a child that they are important so much as it is that they are inherently worthy, and greatness inheres deep within them in the essence of their being. That they have a neshama. That there's a spiritual aspect to them, and that spiritual aspect to them, and that their intellectual capacity combined with their spiritual aspect makes them something very special, something holy. And when a person has emunah in himself or herself, the possibilities are endless. The promise of success in a person who from the youngest age is able to really understand and feel, you know, it's something that you can't just say to yourself cognitively. It's something that a child has to sense in what we call the toich toich, or in Yiddish, in one's kishkis. A child should feel in his or her kishkis that they are extremely great, meaning that they have a neshama, that they have a beauty to them because they are Hashem's creation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has breathed into them a holy, holy neshama. Children who begin to learn very quickly how to daven, one of the first things we should teach them after Reish Yischach Meiris Hashem, which is what Chazal said, we have to teach them first. Very important. What should we teach them next? Tilas Yadayim, Berachas Torah, Asher Yatzar, and Elokai Neshama Shenosata Bi Tahirahi Ata Barosa Ata Yatzarta Ata Nafachta Bi. Explained, and a child at a very young age can understand on some level that they were specifically chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That a neshama is that person that you are, not just you are physically, little boy or little girl with two cute little polkas and a beautiful head of hair, God bless them, and beautiful eyes. Not only that, but you know, when you feel something inside, and a 5-6-year-old child can understand, oh yeah, I feel something inside. When you think about something, when you feel a certain way, well, that's your neshama. You know where it came from? You know how special it is? You know how holy it is? Wow. And you teach them how to say and understand the words of Elokai Neshama Shenasata Bi Tahirahi. That builds a child with a foundation of self-confidence. That's self-confidence. So, yes, is it important that the child also have self-confidence that he or she can learn a pasuk komish, can add and do math and read and write, and that their penmanship is up. Very important. But you know, ultimately, you know, let's be realistic, there are always going to be the children who they're not able to be A students in every subject. So what? That's not at all important. How do you get them to understand that it's okay, you try, you're wonderful, don't worry, it's all good, you're special, you're wonderful. And you have every reason to be a happy person. And you have every reason to feel optimistic. Smile. You're going to have a bright future and everything's going to be wonderful and well with you. No worries. How do you get the child there even when the child has, like we all do, pitfalls, frustrations, some failures, some, you know, places where they wish they could do better. It's all not important, because once you've raised the child where he or she feels, I have greatness in me. I'm a holy neshama. I'm such a worthy human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created just me. Adam Yechidi Nivra. Bishvili Nivra Ha'ilam. So then they feel very confident and they feel very positive about who they are and what they are ultimately going to be able to achieve in spite of whatever minor setbacks or weaknesses that every human being has. That's in a nutshell how we can raise successful children. And it's our responsibility to do it right. With this, I'll conclude with a statement by Rav Schwab. He points out that in the Torah, the three mitzvos that are seemingly in the progression, but yet you can't easily intuit why these mitzvahs come in the order in which they come. Nestled between two mitzvahs that have to do with father and mother, there's the mitzvah of gonev ishim b'charev and nimtzu b'yodai mois yumas. You're not allowed to conduct a kidnapping. Right? The first pasuk says, umaka ovi v'imoi mois yumas. God forbid one strikes mother or father. Terrible. Next pasuk, if a gonev ishim b'charev kidnap a human being, nimtzu b'yodai mois yumas. And then back to mother and father, umakalel ovi v'imoi, God forbid somebody curses mother, father, mois yumas. So you got hitting mother and father, cursing mother and father, and mittendrin, in the middle, a pasuk that says, oh, don't kidnap. So Schwab, as only Rav Schwab could say, because you know sometimes the parents might be kidnapping the child. Meaning that you take your child, and what you're doing with the child is something that's for your own self, for your joy, or for your aggrandizement, or for your pride, or for your nachas. Children are not a nachas machine. They're not, you know, factory producted nachas machines that they're supposed to give you nachas. Children are given over to you, not for you to do anything but help raise them to succeed as human beings. And then, therefore, if you do it right, so then you're not going to be over on Gainav Ish Mechara. Because Gainav Ish Mechara means where you take someone else's life and you try to use it for yourself. That's the very opposite of what a father and mother are supposed to do. We're supposed to give ourselves over for the benefit of the child's life. That's it. And that's why all of what we've discussed about how we can and should be careful promote this happiness and this contentment and this self-confidence and this amuna ba'atzmacha, this faith and belief in oneself and in Hashem, and the serenity and the patience and the sense of joy in life that a child should have. These are all what we are responsible to try to imbue, to try to foster in children so that they will be successful as we understand success. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions, I'm happy to talk about them.
Thank you.